Bhagavad Gita is a book of mankind's collected experience of and answers to life's most basic questions. Who I am? From where do I come? What is my purpose and destiny? And most practically, how do I find happiness? These podcasts originate in the lectures of Neil Bhatt, a disciple of Swami Chinmayananda. They are presented here in 20 to 30 minute segments, each covering three of the Gita's 701 verses. Welcome to Gita Wisdom for Daily Living.
We have been discussing chapter 10, Vibhuti Yoga, Yoga of Divine Glories. So far, in this segment of Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavan is taking us step by step, methodically, to understand the nature of the self. Chapter 7, we have seen the lower prakriti, the lower nature, the apara prakriti of the Lord, the self. Then we have seen in chapter 8, the higher prakriti, the para prakriti, which is unmanifest. Apara is manifest, the world which I can experience. Para is unmanifest. Then in chapter 9, we have seen the relationshipless relation of these two, the higher and lower, where Bhagavan said, they are in me, I'm not in them, and in reality, they are also not in me. This lower prakriti, the world of plurality which you see, is in me, but I'm not in them. And in reality, it is also not in me. This world of plurality is not in me. So that was the relationshipless relation we have seen in chapter 9. Chapter 10 is giving you the transcendental nature of the self. So we are seeing the nature of the self which transcends both the world of plurality and my world of experiences. It is beyond my comprehension right now. So the Bhagavan is explaining the transcendental nature of the self. So we have seen in this chapter, in the beginning, several verses Bhagavan has described what is the nature of the self. In verse 3 he said, one who knows me as unborn, beginningless, and the Lord of the world is purified of all sins. One who has recognized the nature of the self, all the impressions on the mind is of no relevance. Therefore, is purified of all sins. Bhagavan said, that's my nature. Then I'm unborn, I'm beginningless, and these worlds exist because of me, and therefore he's the Lord of all the worlds. In verse 7, he comes again and says, one who knows my vibhuti and yoga in its essence gets established in that unwavering yoga, or vikampena yoga. He says, one who knows my vibhuti. Vibhuti, this cosmic nature of mine, and then also yoga, the world of your experiences, because you are seeing this world through the lens of Maya. So I wanted the one who knows both the cosmic nature of myself and also the limited nature of your world. So this vibhuti and yoga, Bhagavan is putting together because he said the same entity, when functions through the cosmic mind, it creates this cosmos, this entire jagat. And then when it functions through my individual mind, it creates my world. When it functions through your mind, it projects your world. And so is the case with his world and her world. So this microcosm and macrocosm, the cause of both, one and the same. The same entity, the same self, functioning through cosmic mind, becomes Ishvara and projects this world. When it functions through my mind, it projects my world. But the consciousness which is functioning through Ishvara's cosmic mind and my limited mind is one and the same. In him, there is no Ishvara and there is no Jiva. Ishvara and Jiva are created by association with Maya. Brahman plus Maya is equal to Ishvara. Brahman plus my individual ego is Jiva. So Bhagavan said, both are in existence because of my presence. That self is one and the same. And then in verse 8, he comes again and says, I am the source of all beings and everything proceeds from me. Understanding this fact, wise people worship me lovingly. One who understands that the self remains the same, whether at the cosmic level or at the individual level, and at the beginningless ajam, avyayam. And then verse 10 and 11 both starts with word tesham, for them or to them. The verse, so them, those who understood this transcendental nature of the self. Tesam satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. Tesam, those wise people, or that wise person who has now understood this transcendental nature of the self, his own consciousness is same as the consciousness of Ishvara. Bhajatam priti purvakam. Now, because of this knowledge which took place in his intellect, he is worshipping the Lord, the Self, lovingly, because he found that sameness in that. Dadami buddhi yogam tam. That effort when a seeker puts, I give him this enlightenment, realization. So I connect his buddhi with that truth. That buddhi yoga is understanding the nature of the self. Up till now, I learned through osmosis, learned through words of wisdom from others, intellectually appreciated, and because of that appreciation, I was worshipping, identifying with the self mentally, lovingly. And so with that effort, I'm pleased and I give you that buddhi yoga, that final enlightenment that comes from my grace. So Bhagavan has given us in this verse 10 a perfect formula for success. That if you do something, tesam satata yuktanam, constantly striving, steadfastly striving, bhajatam, pursuing the goal, priti for lovingly, then only you get the success, dadami buddhi yogam, then only come to understanding of what it is that you are trying to achieve. Yena mam upayanti te, then he achieves it. First I understand the goal clearly, and then I achieve it by my constant practice, practicing lovingly. This is the formula which you have to apply in any field. In my case, I love two things. I love music and I love architecture. Now, music I practice here and there. I learned music little here and little there. I practice once in a while. So my result is also I get once in a while. Someone says you are singing well. But I have not achieved what I really wanted to achieve in music, because it was not satatam. It was not constant practice. An architect is constant practice. That's all I said I will do. I will not do anything for the last 50 years. So therefore I get success in that which I practice lovingly and constantly. That constant part, the satata part, is the key word. And priti purvak is the key word. If you lovingly pursue something constantly, Bhagavan said you will understand it and you will achieve it. In verse 11, he clarifies how. He says, tesam eva anukampartham aham agnanajam tamaha nasayami atma bhavastaha jnana deepena bhasvada. This misconception which I have in my heart that I am this limited being and I don't have much power to control my destiny. Other people are pushing me around. The society is pushing me around. The system is pushing me around. He said, this misunderstanding that I have, and I consider myself to be completely different than that Supreme Self. Bhagwan is Bhagwan and I am a limited being. I do not know who Bhagwan is and I have no power. I have no real relationship right now because I do not see the sameness in myself and Bhagwan. Without knowing the relationship, I will not be able to achieve anything. Bhagavan says, but one who is striving constantly by that intellectual appreciation that the self in all beings is one and the same. The consciousness in me is the same consciousness in all beings. Ishvara and I are enabled by the same consciousness. The equipment is different. Ishvara has cosmic mind and I have limited mind. Nar and Narayan. You are Narayan and I am Nar. Your cosmic mind, I have limited mind. That's the only difference. But we are the product of the same self. Tesam eva anukampartham. Out of my mere compassion. Because I'm same to all. Aham agnanajam tamaha. Nasayami atma bhavastaha. I'm seated in the hearts of all beings. But sitting in the heart of that devotee who had been striving constantly to achieve that perfection, I remove the darkness, agnanajam tamaha, the darkness which is created out of ignorance. Ignorance of the self, who I am, I do not know, that created this ignorance about myself. Bhagavan said, I destroy the darkness by Gnanadipena Bhasvata, by lighting up the lamp of knowledge. This is Buddha Yoga. Acquiring the knowledge by the grace of God, Bhagavan said, I remove that ignorance which is in the heart of my devotee, that he is a limited being, that his consciousness is very different than others. Ishvara is very different than his own self. So Bhagavan here clarifies that I am always compassionate. My grace is always there. But you have to allow me to show my grace. The sun is always outside shining, but if I don't open the window, sun has no capability to provide light in my room, to remove the darkness in my room. The same way, Bhagavan is always graceful and he's always compassionate to help his devotee. The devotee has to allow Bhagavan to light the lamp of knowledge in his heart. Bhagavan Shankaracharya gives an analogy which we have discussed before, but it very clearly says, your intellect is the wick. This intellect is the carrier for this knowledge. The divine grace is the oil. Bhagavan Shankaracharya uses a very clear analogy which we can understand. The divine grace is the oil. My detached mind is the lamp. So what is required? The vessel for this lamp to be lit. And it requires detached mind. Unless I have this detached mind, the lamp cannot be lit. So the detached mind acts as a lamp. And my intellect acts as the wick. And Bhagavan then provides the oil by his grace. And my concentration and meditation on that self provide the spark which lights up that lamp. So what is required, Bhagavan said, is your job is to create the detached mind and pure intellect. Purification of your internal instrument, antahkarana. And then once you have that pure intellect and detached mind, I will provide the oil and your meditation, your concentration of the self will light that lamp of enlightenment. So far Bhagavan thought that he had completed his instruction to Arjuna. This is lower, this is higher, this is your relationship between higher and lower, and this is transcendental knowledge. But obviously Arjuna is not yet at that level to understand this knowledge. So Arjuna Uvacha, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram, Paramam Bhavan, Bhavan you. Purusam Sasvatam Divyam Adidevam Ajam Vibhum. And then the next verse continues with the same. Ahuhu Tvam Rushaya, Sarve Devarsi Naradha Tatha, Asito Devalo Vyasaha, Swayam cha eva bravishime. I understand this part, that you are Param Brahma, you are the Supreme Brahman. Because I have learned that in school. When I was in Gurukul, this was taught to me by them, that the Self is Supreme Brahman, Param Dhamma. That is the final abode for all things and beings. Everything resides in that Supreme Self. Then when I was in Dallas, one of my colleagues who was traveling with me a lot, when he hears me telling Hari Om to people on the phone, he said, Neil, I figured out why you Indians have a better family life. Because you remind each other to hurry home, that you go home, don't waste your time. And therefore, you guys have a better family life. But Swami Purushottamananda used to say, that's your real home, hurry home. And hurry home. Detach yourself from your business here and hurry home to your final abode. In India, we used to have temporary address and permanent address. For a long time, I had to write my address in Surat as my permanent address. And then wherever I was living in Baroda, Ahmedabad, that's my temporary address. But now we realize that in this country, we don't need permanent address. Because everything is temporary. We recognize that every address is a temporary address. And Bhagavan said, that's what it is. Param Dhamma, that's your permanent address, the final abode. Arjuna says, I know that. Pavitram Paramam, you are the supreme purifier. The Self is the supreme purifier. Purusam Sasvatam Divyam, you are the divine, ever-existing Purusha. Adi Devam, you are the primal God. You are the original God. All the Devas came afterwards. You were there in the beginning. Ajam, you're unborn. There is nothing before you. There is no source for you. There is no cause for you. You are the beginningless. And Vibhum, you're all pervading. This is what Bhagavan I learned in my school at my Gurukul. So this is nothing new to me. And this was also other rishis have said, Ahu Tvam Rusayah Sarve. All rishis have said the same thing before, including Devarsi Narada. Devarsi Narada said the same thing. Asito Devalo Vyasaha. Swamiji points out that these are Pauranic rishis. Asita, Devala and Vyasa. Vyasa we already know, who is going to write Mahabharata after the war will be over. It's not written yet, but he will be the writer of this Mahabharata and Gita. Asita, Devalo. Asita is supposed to be Vishwamitra's son and Devalo is his son. So these are Pauranic rishis who are prominent in their field. Arjuna says, I've heard not only from my teachers, but I have also heard from this great rishis that they have stated the same thing over and over again. Now, Swayam cha eva bravishime, you're also telling me this. But still, it is not my knowledge. And I'm now confused. How can you be all that? You are my relative, you are my friend, you are my guide. And I know you, but I never knew. I have heard through all the 9 chapters that your Self is the Supreme Self. So Arjuna knew Krishna, but he did not know Krishna consciousness. And as Swamiji points out that Krishna every time uses the first person singular, he refers to his Supreme Consciousness, which we call Krishna consciousness. That Supreme Brahman he identifies with and teaches this Bhagavad Gita. So Arjuna will have a lot more questions to ask. We'll stop right here.
If you find this podcast helpful, please support it by donating any amount by going to the episode's website at neilbhatt.podbean.com or at chinmayarichmond.org. Thank you. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina.
Sarve santu niramayah, sarve bhadrani pashyantu, ma kaschid dukkha bhag bhavet. Om shantihi, shantihi, shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.